Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It's a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon. Hey, happy holidays to you, Brandon.
Yeah, happy holidays. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Hope you didn't trip or anything coming out of that stadium or have a Steelers fan kind of get in your way as you're trying to get down the down out of Lot H. So,
holy moly, was it? I mean, we knew this was going to be a cause and effect kind of deal, but it became a national story. It was on CNN. It was, imagine the magnitude if we'd have lost this game. I mean, I tweeted, and a lot of people actually believe what I said. I said, if we'd have lost this game because of that, and I don't think we'd have lost just because of that play, but in spite of that, I would have to go to anger management classes because I would have been angry.
Well, I think everyone in Baltimore would have been, and
let's
start off just talking about, you know, this Tomlin incident, Tomlin gate, I guess they're calling it. But big story out of this game, even though it was a great game, it was hard fought, just like any Ravens Steelers battle always is. The Ravens came out on top, but the big story here was head coach Mike Tomlin on the field for Jacoby Jones' big return, who it looked like he was heading for a touchdown, and Mike Tomlin's on the field and jumps off at the last second. Now, he of course came out and said, oh, I lost my footing, I was looking at the Jumbotron, I didn't realize where I was, yada yada yada. But personally, to me, the thing that ticks me off is after this all happened, they showed him on TV. I don't know if they showed this at the Jumbotron in the stadium, but they showed a replay.
Smiling.
Yeah, they showed a replay of this play of him on the field, and he looks up at the screen and he smirks and he's got this shit-eating grin on his face. That's the part that pissed me off, because it looked like after he had that little grin, that even though he's saying, oh, it was a mistake, I shouldn't have been there, that grin tells me that it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously I'm going to go on my rant, but obviously, you know, we'll talk about it and we'll let it go. Obviously, bottom line is we won a game, so it kind of makes it that much easier to take. But when it was pitiful. Everybody in my section was up for it. There was one Pittsburgh fan in my section, and I stood up, pointed at him. I said, "You should be ashamed of yourself. I mean, to be associated with that, it's like classless. You're going to go over there and after the fact, Brandon, he's like, well, I was smiling because of all the fan reaction, and they put me up there. Come on, seriously, and it's just distasteful, disgraceful. And you don't have to tell me the fact that he wouldn't be standing there if the play was in the middle field on the Ravens sideline. I guarantee you wouldn't have. And but think about this. Before we really dissect just this whole play, before we even get to the whole game is a scheme, wasn't it just 4 days prior? I was at the Jets game, and on the same sideline, they flagged one of the Jets bench for being interfering with the officials. So they must have been standing in the white area, because the officials, I heard that white area is for the officials to run up and down the sideline. But then no flag. But what really pisses me off too, Brandon, and gets under my skin, is there's refs. One ref had to go around Tomlin, and there's one standing. Like, when they show a photo shot of the play, like a still photo, there's a ref standing right there. What are they thinking? Like, it's just, it's almost like not only get Tomlin in trouble, but do something about these refs. Because to me, and what made it worse is the Ravens only kicked a field goal on that play. I think Jacoby was tackled on the 30. Imagine if they awarded a 15-yard penalty. We're set shot 15 yards from the end zone, probably. So, it's just, to me, it's just mind-boggling how you did. I mean, I know it's not the same officiating crew, but one crew can call Jets interference on the same sideline 4 days prior, but yet don't do anything about this. I mean, you kidding me? He wasn't just in the white, he was in the green. Like, it's just, wow. Like, that. And in all of my days in football, never seen something like that. Never.
No, that was flat out cheating. And I don't care if it was a mistake or not. That was cheating. He can say it was a mistake. I feel like it was an intentional to be on the field, but whatever he says, you know, I wasn't there. I'm not in his head, so I can't say whether or not it really was intentional or not. But the officials are going to be reprimanded, the NFL said, because the NFL said, absolutely, that should have been a flag. And I think a call like that says you automatically get a touchdown. So it could have been a Jacoby touchdown if the refs would have called it. And the refs should have. The NFL agrees they should have. And the NFL has actually fined Mike Tomlin $100,000 for that. For that stupid, you know, act of being on the field. So it seems like the NFL is at least taking, taking credit and saying he shouldn't have done that, or you know, he should have acted better. He should have known where he was. Luckily, the Ravens did come out with a win. If they didn't, I think this would have affected the city. It would have affected the team. It would have affected the staff, and we wouldn't be kind of just brushing it off like a lot of the Ravens are now. I think a lot of people would have still been ticked off about it. I'm ticked off about it just for the fact that I always feel like the Ravens-Steeler games are something special every season, and I feel like those games are always a lot of fun to watch. You prep for them. They always feel like Super Bowl games, but for him to do this, I mean, I lost a ton of respect for the Steelers team and the organization. I don't like the Steelers. I absolutely do not like the Steelers. I don't like any Pittsburgh team. I don't like the Penguins either. But I at least respected the Penguins, and I respected the Steelers up until this point. Because if your head coach has so little faith that you're going to be able to make a play that he feels he has to step in, that's a bad sign for the staff and for the team. So because of this play, I lost a ton of respect for the Steelers.
I agree, Brandon. I mean, I've even heard some Ravens fans saying they respected Tomlin until up to that point. I never have. I took Harbaugh's stance. Harbaugh was very vocal and outspoken, I think, was it last year, 2 years ago. He's never liked Tomlin. And I've kind of been accustomed to that. He's a player's coach. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the way he coaches. He's very hard, brash. I mean, obviously, if he was a Ravens head coach, I love the guy. But after that, it just makes me hate Pittsburgh even more. Everything about the city, about their fans, uncalled for. And here's the other notion on the flip side of things. You can dissect and dice slice this team 100 million ways. The play itself, I think if the game were a blowout, which it should have been, in my opinion, we would be just joking about it. Like, oh, they're just trying to cheat because they're getting blown out. But obviously, because the Steelers just scored. It was 13-0. They go down and score 13-7. That would have just eliminated that, put it back up to a 13-point lead. It would have been 20-7. The game was probably pretty much all over. It was almost like the run back Super Bowl 35. When the Giants finally got it, pulled it within 17, Jermaine Lewis running back and put it back to a 24-point lead, and the Giants were done. So it was almost like the same effect. Not the same cause and effect, but almost the same, the flow, the momentum. The Steelers just scored. If we'd have taken it right back with Jacoby, he makes the play again with his feet. There you go. I've seen the angle, Brandon. I think a lot of even Ravens fans admit that he would have probably got caught. I say no. I think, and that play was coming towards me. I had a good angle at it at the stadium. I think Jacoby makes it down the sideline. I think because he broke stride and veered in, whoever tackled him had the angle. I think if you actually replay that, if he dives at that angle, he dives on the sideline and misses Jacoby, I think Jacoby runs pretty clear down the sideline. I'm a heart settled.
Yeah, I think Jacoby would have had it. I mean, you can, if you've heard the, because Jacoby was mic'd up, if you would have heard him on the sidelines after that game, he said he would have made it. He's like, I know I would have made it down there. After the game, he didn't really want to talk about Tomlin. He just wanted to talk the fact that he got caught, and he didn't feel like he should have been caught. So,
well, I couldn't believe he was.
I know. I
said, are you kidding me? He was gone. I stood up and was like, he's gone. And then, it was like, and then when I actually realized what happened, because I was like, I didn't know it was Tomlin. I just saw who's standing there. And then they showed the replay. That whole stadium went in uproar. It was, I said, are you kidding me? I was like, but, and then here's the other thing. Instead of Ravens actually going and doing their justice, putting seven on the board, they come away with 3 points. So it was almost like egg on our face. It's like, oh, we can't even capitalize on the good field position, even though we didn't get awarded 50-yard penalty. we still didn't get a touchdown. And that's another thing I want to talk about this game. This game should have been a blowout. Not couldn't have been, it should have been. It's distasteful to me as an offense when you go down the red zone and come away with two touchdowns out of 9 times. And, Justin Tucker, he's got, 27 straight field goals. He's tied second in the franchise. Matt Stover at 34, Fanning in the early 2000s. He's got to score 7, guys. You get it. And even Joe Flacco was vocal in his frustration. He was saying, we got to get it in. We were right there. Joe Flacco was even saying that. And it's just, to me, if you want to go in the playoffs, if we wouldn't even make the playoffs, right now we're holding on to the spot. We have the tiebreakers here for several teams, but we got to keep our momentum in winning with 4 games left. Right now, man, this team needs to be scoring touchdowns. I heard this, and I tell you what, I was flip-flopping between the various radio stations and the media pregame, and I'm going to quote him because he was absolutely right. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm going to give a shout-out. My boys at NSC and also Vinny Serrato at 105.7, a couple of them were correct in saying this. Vinny Serrato said that the Ravens got to come away with touchdowns instead of change field goals because what happens is the Ravens score, let's say Ravens score 7, or let's say the Ravens kick 2 field goals in the red zone. Pittsburgh goes down and scores a touchdown. It's 7-6 Pittsburgh Steelers instead of 14-7. Obviously, those 4 points are more important than 3, but I remember a game 2-3 years ago. I remember this. The Ravens lost to the Bengals at home 21-9. The Bengals scored 3 touchdowns. The Ravens scored 3 field goals. Now, I would have to go back in my archives and look and see if the field goals were in the red zone or not. But besides the fact is, we cannot be going constantly in the 20, 15, 10, 5-yard line and not getting the job done. It's not going to happen. This team's not going to go well in the playoffs, if not let's make the playoffs, if they're not going to score 7. Something needs to happen, and happen quickly, and get it fixed before the end of the season comes along and we're outside looking in. So, Brandon, I really want to address that. The red zone offense, it's atrocious.
It is, and it really sucks, and I think it all comes back to the running game. I think that's a big thing. The running game just isn't there. You get into the red zone, and you want to keep it on the ground. You don't want to throw it and lose your chances there. You want to keep it on the ground, and you want to be able to run it into the end zone, and the running game just isn't there. The offensive line is not blocking, not making those holes for these guys to get through. So I think even though we're kind of discussing different things than we were a week or two ago, I think it all comes down to Ray Rice in the running game. Ray doesn't. We were talking last week with Dave, and he was kind of saying how those holes aren't made. That he kind of sees Ray kind of sneaking inside instead of going to the outside like he used to. I think that's the same problem here with getting into the end zone, with getting into that red zone. The reason they can't do it is because that running game just is not there this year.
Absolutely. It's just not there, whether it's the 1-2 punch, the drives aren't there. Obviously, there's a lot of issues offensive line. We have injuries. We can blame a lot of things. Obviously, we know Dennis Pitt is on the practice field. He's not going to be the savior and all be all the offense. He's going to help out a little bit, but we don't know how he's going to be and when he's coming back. There was speculation he might come back this Sunday. I don't even think that's happening. Again, we could sit here and play the blame game and who's to blame for the offensive blows, but the fact of the remain is the bottom line. They have to get the job done. We can sit here and beat the broken record. We can beat the dead horse. I don't care. The thing's got to get done. Getting down on that, it happened on Thursday night. The Ravens went 5 and played with 3 points. It's just, you got to be kidding me. Usually, the old Ravens, or as of late, I should say, in the last 2 years, Ravens on the 5-yard line, you can get up there, see the seat, and go get yourself a nice sandwich and a drink and be back so you can watch the defensive set and do their job because you already knew the Ravens are going to punch it in. And it's just almost like automatic now. It's like you almost have to watch to see what they're going to do. Are they going to fumble the ball? Is Joe going to throw an improvised pick? Is Ray Rice even going to snip the end zone? What package are they going to run? I think when it comes down to it, Ray Rice should be in between the 20s. When they get down to the 20s, I think it should be a heavy dose of Pearson Lynch. That's just my opinion, because Ray Rice isn't just, he's not penetrating the lines. And obviously the lines are letting the defense in the backfield. I think Pierce, has more of the physical capabilities of getting and breaking these tackles and getting towards the goal line. But I'm just not seeing it happening with Ray Rice at the goal line right now.
Yeah, you know, that's not a bad plan. I think that would be a good plan. I'd like to see what he can do in the red zone. And I like the fact that you brought up Vontae Leach. I think Vontae Leach, you know, there's a reason why the Ravens re-signed him after letting him go for a little bit. He's a great big powerhouse. He can break through those tackles. He's a big guy. So I like that idea. I really do, and I hope to. Hopefully they're listening to this podcast and they'll take some pointers here. But I'd like to see Leach get more throws. I think Leach, or even getting it passed off to him. I think Leach could really barrel his way through. If guys like Marshall Yanda and everything aren't doing their job, and AQ Shipley, maybe it's time to give Leach a ball and let him see what he can do.
I agree. I mean, if you get these guys involved, maybe it'll open up some of the playbook and maybe even make some plays happen and get some of these playmakers out there. Because Juszczyk maybe out there in the backfield. I really don't know. I mean, there's never a 100% answer for anything we do or say. Obviously, we're all, you know, we're throwing our opinions out there and, you know, let's see what happens. But, I mean, fact that remains is we already know this. The Ravens got to get it 7-3. But obviously, Justin Tucker's doing a great job. He's been what AFC Special Teams Player of the Week the last 2 or 3 weeks. He's almost like reminding me of. I mean, I know in the last 2 games we scored one touchdown and the rest were field goals. We scored 19 and 22 respectively, but we cannot let these guys in the game. I mean, Pittsburgh was only in the game because we let them hang around because we didn't score. If we score 2 touchdowns in there, it's what 30-7. I mean, the game's a no contest. It's a snoozer. We handle it decisively. It would have been a standing game. And I even look at the Steelers fan. I mean, I didn't run into too many nasty ones down there, but I was on my way out of the stadium. I looked at a guy, and I'm like, he was a Steelers fan. He was parked next to us as we were getting out of the stadium lot. And I looked at him. I'm like, why is it with these two teams it always comes down to one play or it's always a through the 3-point game? I mean, the Ravens were favored by 3. They didn't even cover. That just shows you how close this game was. I mean, 20-22, that was right there. I mean, and how thrilling was that? I mean, they had to score a touchdown. It was reviewed twice. How about Le'Veon Bell getting knocked out? That was great. I mean, I'm glad he's okay. I mean, obviously, I don't condone anybody getting hurt, but it was just great to see him getting his bell run, no pun intended there. Pretty much, you know, he got knocked out. The call was looked at. It was short. They came down on a 4th-down play. They made a good play. Godfrey's touchdown was wide open on the goal line. They did a screen. It came down to a 2-point conversion, and oddly enough, they didn't convert it. Obviously, if they converted, it would have been an interesting overtime game. So, I mean, hey, it comes down to one play. We won the game regardless. It was a hard-fought battle. But we get the leg up in the AFC. Right now, we have a 6 lock on the 16, and I'm pretty much excited about that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. This, like you said, this was a crazy game. I can't believe it came down to what it did. I mean, it's always going to be like a 3-point game with these two teams, but I mean, the fact that that got you know, replayed twice, it got reviewed. Yeah, and like you said, you know, especially, I'm glad that everybody's okay with that big collision, because I was scared for both teams, because it looked like Jimmy Smith as well got a little bit of the brunt of that hit. But I'm glad everybody's okay. This is football, so they know what they're getting into when they sign up for it. But a great Thanksgiving. I'm sure it was fun at the stadium. I'm sure everybody was having a good time. I had a great time in Ocean City watching it. I actually watched it at the Crab Bag down in, I think it was like 128th Street. That's they opened up for the game, and there were plenty of Ravens fans there, so it was a lot of fun. But great game. I'm glad that the Ravens won this game. I'm glad that they're ahead now, and we get to look on now. So let's talk about the game coming up on Sunday. We're up against the Minnesota Vikings. You and I will be there. It's going to be a fun game at the bank. What's going to be the big thing? Because the Vikings haven't had the greatest season, let's put it that way, the greatest season so far this year. What do the Ravens have to do to prepare for these guys? Is it... of course, we're going to have plenty of defense up against this team, and it looks like they're going to, you know, they're going to come in with their normal guys. So, what do the Ravens have to do for this game coming up on Sunday?
Well, first off, they have to get up to the team. You know how usually they play down to their opponent. You know, someone asked me point blank, how the Ravens get pumped up for this game? Simply the fact remains is they're in a playoff race. and they can't afford to lose a game. Pretty much every game here on out is almost like a playoff game. It's almost like a college season, a mini college season. One game and you're done. Even if it was a regular season, one game and you're done, meaning you might not be playing for, quote unquote, the national title, which in the NFL is, you know, your final six in AFC in the playoffs. So, I think it's going to be interesting. Fact remains, this is a home game. Should be good. Weather might play a factor in it. I heard it's supposed to be a wintry mix. I have no clue. The weather in Baltimore is crazy right now. I wish we were actually playing the game today, Brandon, because obviously we're recording today. It's actually in the 50s, Baltimore, and it feels really good. I'm actually, you know, wearing a polo today. I feel great. And, you know, we'll be all bundled up on Sunday. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But in getting regards to the game itself, Adrian Peterson's going to be the focal point. If they could stop AP and hold him to a nice 100, under 100 yards rushing and really keep him in check, I don't think Matt Castle's going to beat us. And what I mean by that is Matt Castle's got to make the play. He has some playmakers around him, but, I mean, past the prime, Greg Jennings, I mean, he is still a threat, but he's not the same as he was before. And obviously, we're going to have Matt Castle playing against us because Christian Ponder is out with a concussion he suffered last Sunday. So it's going to be interesting to see how we approach this game, how the intensity comes up. I think the Ravens are going to be fine because it's a home game. They're going to get up to the crowd. I don't think I have any problems with that in general. I just really hope that they work on the game plan they need to work on and hopefully score 7 instead of 3s. And I think it really comes out to offensive production. If we can score a good amount of points early and get up on them, I think the defense might come out and I think they're going to put pressure on Castle. They're going to eliminate his playmaking ability, make him make mistakes. I feel more comfortable if we put the game in Castle's hands for the Vikings and instead of relying on AP. If it has to be on Matt Castle, Ravens going to win hands down. But if AP's motor's running and he's running all over this defense up and down and catches a screen pass, it's going to be a dog fight. It's going to be a long day for us. We're going to sit there going, Scott Trans going, what happened? We're down 7 in the fourth quarter. I hope it don't come down to that. I really hope the intensity is there. And I'm going to be looking out for that while we're sitting there. I'm going to really look and see if we start the ball on offense or defense first and seeing how the defense comes out playing. Are they going to swarm the ball? Are they going to come out? Are they going to be passive and let them, you know, give and take kind of game? I mean, but obviously it's an interesting game because, number one, it's an NFC matchup for us. We don't play this team but once every 4 years, so it's not like your typical Ravens, Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, Ravens, Patriots kind of game, or Ravens, Broncos for that matter, or we know what's going to happen. It's more or less they have a weapon in Adrian Peterson. They stop them. We're good. Jared Allen's a threat on defense. I know he's going to give us fits on the defense side of football. Pass rush, and they got to stop him because he'll be out there disrupting and Flacco's movement and his pocket awareness and the presence there. So I think pretty much what it comes down to, game plan on offense, got to stop 28 on our defensive side of the ball. And then on offense, we have to neutralize the pass rush of Jared Allen and pretty much keep them in check and make our plays, not turn the ball over and be smart with the football and clock management. I know I'm asking a lot of keys to the game here, but in a perfect world, all of it's not going to flow and right. But if we can just manage the clock well, win the turnover battle, pretty much take care of our business at home, that's 3 straight home victories for us. We're going to feel good going into Detroit next week. We'll talk about that, obviously, but we have 4 games left. Here we are. We're in December. Ravens play their best stretch run in December. Best football is yet to be played, guys. The Ravens are peaking at the right time. And Ray Lewis, Brandon, believe it or not, we know Ray Lewis has been critical. He's on the Ravens side. He's a Raven for life. We know that. He always says we still incorporated in and talking about the past and what he did with the Ravens. I mean, he's always built the city. He can't take himself from that. But he's been very vocal and critical about the defense. He's been very vocal about Joe Flacco's leadership ability, playmaking abilities, and his consistency. But he did go on record this week. He was shocked and surprised to see what Tomlin did, and he was against it. And also, he did say on record that the Ravens are one of the scariest AFC teams to face. If they sneak in, look out, because they might do some damage. And I like our chances, man. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've actually looked at it, looking away from the Colts, not the Colts team, but looking away from the Vikings team a little bit, Brandon. if you look at the grand scheme of the AFC, I don't know if anything concerns you at this point because, let me get your input. I mean, the Broncos blew a 24-point lead. The Patriots kind of looked slow in their get-going in the games. Obviously, they're finishing games, but, I mean, the Texans were up 1-10 at halftime. The Broncos were up 24, so they had to come down behind 24-10 to win the game. The Texans only lost by 3. The Colts are playing football, but they're not playing any good football. They're beatable. The Bengals are the Bengals. We never they're like a box of chocolates. We never know what we're going to get. Thank you, Forrest Gump. So I have no clue. Right now at AFC, the Ravens are taking it right now. If we catch our stride starting Sunday against Minnesota at home, I'm telling you what, it might start a fire. Jacoby did say this 2-3 years ago. The difference is one win. One win can start a momentum train, and then here we are. We're 2 wins in a row. We go on 3 on Sunday, come all the way 3 at the bank. That's 3 straight home wins. We have 1 home game left. We only lost one all game, all year, and that was to a 2-point loss against the Packers at home with Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you right now, Ravens, I wouldn't say run the table just yet, but they can control and everything in their environment if they play sound football. What do you think?
Well, I want to say last Thursday definitely could be a momentum changer for these guys because they played a full 60-minute game. You did not feel like these guys were lagging off. They were trying to show off or anything like that. These guys, it looked like they came there to play and they were ready for this game. So I'm definitely happy with that. Harbaugh has come out and said many times that he has built this team to be a strong team in December. He builds them to not show up early and then, you know, have everyone get hurt or have everyone kind of slack off towards the end of the year. December is when he likes to have these guys play their hardest football. And that's the best thing you can do in this league because you have a lot of teams that can come out, get a lot of points early, and then kind of lag off and not do well. So if he's building this team to be strong in December, this is the time, of course, the time of year to do that, of course. But he has done that. This team is strong later in the year. They always have been. So I think that they will do well coming up in the next couple weeks. The other teams in the AFC to just be worried about, I mean, I'm always worried about Peyton Manning and I'm always worried about Tom Brady. They're two definitely beatable guys because they don't have the strongest team behind them, especially Tom Brady, who lost like all of his receivers earlier in the year and only gained, you know, one or two back. And Peyton Manning, you know, Peyton Manning's always going to be Peyton Manning, but I don't think he's a very strong December quarterback because he does not like the cold. The cold does not agree with him in any way. We've seen this many times that he's kind of used to that Indianapolis dome. He's not used to this cold weather. So I think that they're two very beatable teams, but with Brady and Manning, when they want to turn it on, they can absolutely do it, but it's just getting those guys surrounded by the right people. And at least this year, I don't think they're surrounded by the right people. I think they're two Hall of Famers, you know, down the road, and they'll be great. But this year, no, I don't think it's their year. The Ravens are going to be a team to watch for. They're fighting for a wild card spot right now, and that's exactly where they should be. They are a wild card because you don't know what they're going to do because they don't know what they're going to do half the time because it's such a different influx of people than it was last year. So we'll see what happens. I think looking at this Minnesota Vikings game, I do see the Ravens doing well against them. I think, like you said, shutting down Adrian Peterson, that's going to be a huge key to keeping this game in check. But besides shutting down Peterson, it's also the offense has got to show up. You talked about the red zone and them not being able to do what they have to do in the red zone. This is a game against the Vikings, a team that's kind of struggling, that this is where you figure out how to do it. This is where you figure out how to take this team down, and you do what you have to do in the red zone.
Absolutely. I mean, they just got to, you know, take this game for what it is. Can't take it for granted. And even if you look at the Sunday, and you're saying about the Ravens are a wild card team, that's what they are, but they're still in the dogfight for the division. The Bengals at 8-4 and the Ravens at 6-6. The Ravens already beat them once. You know, if the Ravens end up winning out until week 17 when they play Cincinnati in Cincinnati and the Bengals lose one game, that game, the Ravens win that game, they'll win the division, we'll get a home playoff game. We're talking a whole new ball game in the playoffs. Not only do the Ravens make the playoffs, but they're AFC North champions again for the second straight time, and we get another home playoff game. So you figure we win that one, we're back in the divisional round again. So, again, you know, we got to take it week by week. The Ravens got to win this Sunday to keep dreams and hopes alive here. But if you really look at the grand scheme of things, and the Bengals do play the Colts this Sunday, the Colts need a win to get to clinch their division. So, obviously, they're looking to win the game. They're coming off from, they did win the game, but it was a horrible performance at best, mediocre when I saw the highlights. So, and the Titans almost beat them. So, you're looking at the Colts are in a fight to win their division, lock it up. The Ravens can still take the cake here. I mean, they have a winnable game in front of them. They can just take care of business and let the rest take care of itself. It's going to be interesting to see because Pittsburgh and Miami do play each other. We own the tiebreaker against Miami. They're both at 5-7. Obviously, we split Pittsburgh 1-1, so it's going to go down to some sort of tiebreaker there. But you got to hope right there. Obviously, I think the Bengals, not the Bengals, but I think the Dolphins, we need to root for them to win that game. Obviously, number one, to put the Steelers out of contention once for all. We already own the tiebreaker with the Dolphins anyways. We beat them head-to-head. So, and the Raiders and Jets square off. So, and the Jets, obviously, we are in the tiebreaker against them. We just beat them last weekend. So, the Ravens' chances, they're in the driver's seat. It's theirs to lose, it's theirs to win. So, if they get screwed up, let's look for who to blame. And if we just keep going, let's just play winning football. I mean, they've gotten it for 2 weeks straight. Let's go. And, I mean, they've had a mini bye week. They've had 10 days off going into this game. So, it could benefit them because, obviously, and here's another thing. Team on this matchup. The Ravens played on Thursday night. Yes, they had the later game Thursday, but they're still at home. They didn't have to travel. They get an easy streak. The Vikings are coming from Minnesota, who they played a dogfight playoff game, not a playoff game, an overtime game, I should say, I'm sorry, against the Chicago Bears. They eked out a win. There was a missed field goal fest there at Dome up there in Minnesota, and they came out the win. So, obviously, you know, going into it, we're going in separate directions. The Vikings are 3-8-1, 4-6-6 going for a playoff spot. The Vikings are just trying to play spoilers, but they did have a shorter week, and they played almost a whole another quarter in overtime. They went with, less than 2 minutes remaining in the overtime period. So they're a little bit tired, and they had to travel over to the East Coast. So there's the time travel. So you kind of look at all the varying factors. It's setting up nicely for us. We have been many bye week of all the looseness in the environment, the air. Tomlin getting fine. We won the game. We beat Pittsburgh. Thanksgiving holidays are over. Christmas is upon us. It's going to be very interesting to see how this game really plays itself out.
Yeah, we are. Let me ask you real quick. Due to the team that we're playing here and their current situation and our need to win these games, do you see Harbaugh using Tyrod Taylor at all this week, or do you think this is all going to be Joe Flacco?
No, I don't think I don't think he might use it all. I mean, I think they should use him for one or two packages. I don't think in this game they would. Simply meaning that. I mean, you never know. I mean, I'm going to say no stick to my gun, but you never know. This might be a game where if we're up big, they might experiment. Or if we're blowing the doors off them in the fourth quarter, you might see a Tyrod Taylor to give Flacco a breather and rest because we travel next week. It's going to be a longer week, but we have the road game on Monday night. So, again, you look at it, you never know what might happen. But I don't think the Wildcat formation is going to be used. I think the Ravens should just keep it simple. Raven football like they've always been doing.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do. I'm wondering just because of the team that they're up against, because it is the Vikings, that maybe they'll want to sit Joe out a little bit more and maybe they want to give Tyrod a little bit more. But at the same time, though, like you said, this is December football. It's very important. You got to win. It's go big or go home pretty much at this point. So they might want to have Joe out there and kind of build up his confidence, even though I don't think he needs any more. I think he's very confident in himself.
Right.
Just to have him out on the field and make sure that he still has that feeling that this is his offense and this is his team.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
All right, so did we cover everything? Is there anything we missed?
Not a chance, Brandon. I think we're ready to roll.
All right, well, if you love talking about Baltimore Ravens football, it's easy to talk to Josh or I. You can follow us both on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @BrandoCash. Josh, where can people follow you at?
You can always follow me at ItalianDQ52.
There you go. And if you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. That way, whenever a new show comes out, we'll let you know on Facebook. And don't forget to like the Brando Cash Network as well, facebook.com/BrandoCash. You get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Best thing you can do, help us out. We give you this show completely for free. Least you can do is just let people know about it. Let people know that you listen to The Call and that you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit, and let them know that you listen to The Call. They should too. So let people know about that. There's plenty of ways to listen to us. Doesn't matter how you do it. Whatever is most convenient for you. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. If you subscribe on either of them, whenever a new show gets added, they will be automatically downloaded into your library. So that's pretty cool. If you're at work and you're at a desktop and you want to listen to old episodes, maybe the Super Bowl episode, go to thecall.brandocash.com and you can listen to those there. So thanks so much for joining us on The Call. Look for us. We will be at the game this Sunday against the Vikings. We will be tailgating in Lot H. Make sure you stop by and say hi. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thanks, Brandon, as always. We had a good Thanksgiving week. Spank the Steelers, or I don't want to say spank, but we gave them a run, but we came out of the win unscathed. We're looking for win number 3 in a row, home win. Vikings coming to town Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's going to be a war. We're in the midst of a playoff battle. We need everybody, all Ravens faithful, to ascend to M&T Bank. We need your help, the 12th man. Seattle Seahawks are best known for the 12th man, but you know what? M&T Bank is one of the premier venues and the scariest places for opposing teams come in, and we need to keep that record strong and add another home win. It's hometown pride on the line. We have 2 home games left in the season. This is one of them. So let's all, Raiders faithful, let's descend. Let's have a good time on Sunday, root hard, and we're going to root this team hard to a victory. I believe it. I believe it with my heart of hearts, and I know you do too. So let's send this team flying out high with the win on Sunday. 1, 2, 3. Ravens, fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.